Hello, this is Linda Naylor, European Polyethylene and Polypropylene Editor at ICIS, and I'm sitting here with my colleague, Senior Editor Nell Weddle, who covers the ethylene and propylene markets for ICIS. We wanted to take some time and have a chat about this remarkable situation we're currently in. And in our almost 60 years of combined market experience, I must say, it's safe to say, I think we've never seen a year or new year like it. And 2020 certainly ended with a boom. So, Nell, in ethylene and propylene, what is extraordinary right now?
The fact that we've got very tight supply, we've got strong demand across all derivatives, and this has led to prices firming in December, moving into premiums against the contract prices, and particularly for ethylene, this is extraordinary. You know, to have premiums on against the contract price is something that we've not seen for about 3 years, I think, actually.
Yeah, not that long ago, I remember we were seeing ethylene contract at minus 26% for spot, weren't we?
Well, that has been the norm, really. I mean, across 2020, we've had sort of, I would say, anything between 20 and 30, really, with a large proportion of time, sort of 25, 26% below the CP. That has been the normal state of affairs for 2020. And then suddenly we sort of move into premiums, well, single-digit discounts, and then into premiums. I mean, but at one point, at the height of the lockdowns, we had, you know, minus 40, minus 50, minus 60, as, you know, as crude oil had dropped, naphtha had dropped, and we needed to evacuate tons. So we've gone from one extreme to the other, actually, in the space of, well, 12 months, I guess.
And what's driving this demand, do you think?
I think for the year end, really, people had a very pessimistic outlook, not surprisingly, given what we'd experienced throughout 2020. And I think they had underestimated the strength of recovery, and that there was some pent up demand that was, you know, that would be shown. I think also naphtha was up, crude oil was up. So I think there might have been an element of pre-buying in there as well. I think the expectation was that December contract would be up, January contract would certainly be up. And I think, you know, Europe has been pretty well placed, you know, on the global market too. So for some derivatives, that has really given them a boost in terms of exports.
Absolutely.
I think you saw that as well, haven't you, on PP in terms of the propylene. US propylene prices are extraordinarily high. And that has just really given our European derivatives a boost.
Yeah, I think on polypropylene in particular, we've seen very strong export demand. We had low prices on polypropylene homopolymer for months, literally months. We were trading at 850 euros a ton for homopolymer injection until November. Between August and November, probably. And I think that led to a sense of complacency in the market. Every time somebody went to buy some spot, it was there for 850. Yeah. So nobody held any stock. Yeah. And suddenly, when the market came back to buy, prices soared. And from 850 at the beginning of November, we're now seeing 1100. I've even seen some 1200s on homopolymer. It has changed so dramatically. And one of the main reasons, I believe, is that producers thought, well, we can get more than 850 if we export. Let's export.
Yeah.
And of course, with the US being so tight, they couldn't sell to Latin America.
Yeah.
So strange things have been happening. You know, Europe supplying quite a lot of volume to Latin America is not usual, but that's what's been going on. Yeah. It's been a strange year.
I mean,
totally.
Same, I think, you know, when you said that people have become complacent, I think so as well. I mean, they'd got very used to, you know, monomer prices being, you know, in some cases substantially lower than the prevailing contract price, and it was always there. Nobody was worried about there not being any supply, and then suddenly it all takes off and perhaps causes a little bit of panic, actually. I think as people realized that, you know, they had this new demand, they wanted to fulfill it, but yet they couldn't run their derivative units hard enough because there wasn't enough monomer to go around. And I think we've seen that. We've seen a series of force majeures on some, on certain propylene derivatives like acrylo, etc., because of lack of monomer.
Right. We're not. I suppose actually we've got the refinery propylene issue at Total. They've got force majeure that they declared in August, and they're not going to lift before quarter two. Now, I think that's linked to the propylene refinery issue.
Yeah, I think what the coronavirus pandemic has done has sort of really focused our attention actually on propylene and the propylene output from refineries. Now, we saw, you know, at the during the first lockdown, refineries closed and you know, reduced output dramatically, and you know, we didn't need the product, so we didn't actually sort of worry about not having that material. But you know, come lockdown number three or whatever it is we're in, you know, it's changed the scenery, it's changed the landscape. I think there's been several, you mentioned Total, I mean, there's been several other announcements about, you know, refinery focus and reducing output, et cetera. So, you know, that's going to be an issue that continues through 2021. And that's really the unknown. How, you know, what can we expect from refineries? Because I think, according to our data, we get up to 32% of our propylene from refineries. So
in Europe?
Yeah.
That's, I didn't realize it was so high.
Yeah. So, you know, it will have an impact. And I think this is changing people's ideas a little bit. I think, you know, even back in October, as late as October during EPCA, you know, people were talking about lengthy market, you know, not renewing contracts because spot market had been so much better priced or so much more attractive. But I, you know, just 2 months on, November and December, you saw the tightness. And now we definitely hear about people changing their views and looking at their volume, their volumes a little bit more closely now for 2021. So yeah,
even for ethylene as well, isn't it? Because I believe some high density polyethylene is reduced in Europe because the producers just can't get the ethylene they need to make it, or they've got competing derivatives that take the ethylene because of the better netbacks there.
Exactly. Things should change on ethylene, though. I mean, not to say that it'll get back to the length that we've sort of come to know. But things will change. I mean, hopefully, you know, we've got this Stenungsund cracker, which should be back on stream around now. Other issues have been resolved recently. So with all of that, you know, we should see, and we've got some imports coming in as well, because global markets can, at the time, global markets could sort of give us some alternatives. The pricing worked. So we've, you know, we should be in a much better, improved balance moving into February. But, you know, it won't take much. We've still got lots of minor little hiccups on the crackers. And, you know, we need those to stop, really.
Certainly on the polyethylene situation in terms of crackers, the Wilton one is the most severe. And, you know, it's very grade driven, the demand and the supply at the moment in Europe. And low density, which is what's made in Wilton, is the tightest grade. But that comes from, so problems already at Wilton for some time. The Stenungsund polyethylene plant, the one that depends mainly on the cracker, is a low density plant. And also LyondellBasell's Aubette low density plant had a lot of issues that were never confirmed in the last end of 2020. And there you've got the three largest low density plants in Europe all having problems. So low density has become very tight. And the other side of the exporting coin, of course, is importing.
Yes. Well, if I was going to say, what about polyethylene?
Yeah, you can't, if people don't import, if people can export, then it means also that importers don't want to bother with your region because the netbacks are not good enough. And it's been a sort of a perfect storm for the polyethylene industry. And this month we're seeing increases that are just sailing through. I was just speaking to somebody on high density polyethylene spot, and we're seeing like a €300 increase in the last few weeks on spot. It's desperate buyers, of course, and contracts are not going up by so much because they're not being pushed by so much. But For spot, it's really gone very tight, and the ability of traders to import is really reduced, particularly with higher freight rates from Asia into Europe, and also, of course, the well-documented container price increases. It's not a good time, I think, to be a spot buyer.
US ethylene spot prices are moving up as well quite rapidly. Mm. So that will be another thing to take into consideration. When are we going to see all of this PE that we hear so much about? When is it going to stop?
Well, we did see it, and then it all stopped. Oh, okay. It's got to come back again at some point, because European prices are going up. But the European sellers are very, very confident for quarter one. This is not going to change in February. It's still going to be tight into February. It takes time to bring material over. Material has to be available. When Latin America is still paying at a better netback, why would you bother sending it to Europe, even with the current price hikes? Asia freight rates are too high to work. So it will take time for this balance to be redressed. And some of the suppliers are even saying that quarter two it might also be tight. Well, let's wait until we get there before we start talking about quarter two. Yeah.
But I mean, on that basis too, I mean, whilst, you know, we do expect an improvement in the ethylene balance, you know, we will have the turnarounds starting sort of end March, early May. So those planned turnarounds will be supportive. We've also got the ones that, you know, the three or four that were postponed from last year into this year too. So that's additional. So things could be kept on the upward trend, I suppose, or on the firmer side of the market, at least on the C2 side as well. And then propylene, we've got the Miro refinery that starts its planned maintenance in mid-February. So already from mid-February, we've got more constraint on supply. And that's quite a key one for the inland sector.
Do you expect any of the planned maintenances? You said that some of them were already delayed from 2020. Do you expect any further delay?
I don't know, to be honest. Mm. I have started to hear little whispers that perhaps there might be some more delays, COVID reasons, I suppose, primarily. But I've not heard any plans so far. I mean, at this point, it's just a bit of speculation. Mm. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, after 2020, who can be surprised about anything?
of course. Yeah. And we've also got crude and naphtha increasing, yes. I think, at the moment, which is going to be putting more pressure on buyers.
Well, that will certainly put pressure on the next CP. And that, you know, that will sort of certainly add another layer of pressure to the consumers as well.
Yeah. And in polyethylene and polypropylene markets, people are whispering very quietly about 2015, which of course was the last time we saw this sort of thing.
Linda, 2015 was the last time we had a double digit premium for ethylene.
Wow.
So it's definitely lots of memories of 2015 now. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah, let's try not to scare people too much by talking of 2015.
And we're very buoyant, not beat.
let's get together for February once we've got the new contract settlement then, and see how things are going.
Yes, so exactly. Catch up.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed, Nell. So this is Linda Naylor and Nell Weddle from ICIS. Wishing you bon courage, as we say in French.
Bon courage.
Yeah. Bye.